We're doing the Drashot HaRan. We're on page Tef Kuf Hei, the 13th and final speech of the Ran. The Ran had been discussing what Rabbi Yonatan taught, that a prophet, in order to have prophecy, must be a gibor, a mighty person. And now the Ran is offering us another explanation. Why must he be a gibor? We understand why he has to have good traits. Why does he have to be brave and mighty? Gam ken efshar sheichlol b'mo gibor. It's also possible that when Rav Yonatan said that a prophet must be brave and mighty, what he meant was not necessarily that he'll have Herculean strength, but rather sheyeh amitz lev, he has to be brave and mighty in terms of his amitz lev. How would you translate that? In terms of his, huh? I guess his bravery, velo yashuv mipnei kol, so that he doesn't retreat in the face of anything. Ki biyoto mishtalech lochech amrav, if he's being sent to rebuke a great nation, velinave tovo efcho, sometimes his prophecy is going to be good news. Sometimes his prophecy is going to be the opposite of good news. Im yirameh umamonam yastir nevuotav, if he's going to be scared of the masses, well, then he might just hide what he has to say. We find that Hashem has to forewarn the prophet Jeremiah. Hashem says to him, I know you're going to give them bad news. Don't be scared. Hashem says to him, "Vata tezo motnecha, you girdle yourself. Vekamta, stand up. Vedibarta lehem tkol she'anochi atzaveka. You say what I command you to say," the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yirmiyo. "Al teichat mipneihem, don't be scared of them. Penachitecha lifneihem, lest I break you before them." So Hashem forewarns him, do not be scared. That's not so easy. You know, he's standing in front of the masses and saying, we're going to lose the war, give up. And he's thrown into jail for being a traitor. And then they throw him into a pit of tar to drown, to die. And Yirmiyo is well aware that he's going to be blamed for being a traitor. But God told him to tell the people, stop fighting. The king sent them to war. So he has to stand in face of the generals, in face of the king, and say, God said the war is over, we lost. Stop fighting, people are dying for nothing. No one wants to listen to him. You're a traitor. You're destroying the morale of the people. So Yirmiyo theoretically is doing exactly what Hashem wants, but in the eyes of the people, he's doing the opposite of what Hashem wants. Hashem tells him, don't be scared. It's not easy not to be scared. Yeshayahu says, I attained this level. Amar, Yeshayahu says, Gevi natati lemakim ulechayai lemoretim. I've allowed myself to be beaten, and my body has been beaten. I've allowed my beard to be pulled at. Ulechayai lemoretim. Yeshayahu describes how his beard was forcibly pulled out. Mikelimot varok. People would shame Yeshaya. People would spit on Yeshaya. Vashem Elokim yazor li. Hashem helps me. Al ken lo nichlamti. That's why I'm not embarrassed. I know I'm standing for what's right. Al ken samti panai kachalamish. That's why I make my face hard as stone, says the Navi Yeshaya. I don't give up. But no one likes what I have to say. They're spitting at me. They're beating me. But I'm not giving up because I'm standing for what's right. That's why over here, one of the things that Rabbi Yonatan says is, you want to be a prophet, you have to be a gibor. One of the hardest things for a human being to do is live in a society that mocks them. When society looks down upon us, it's very hard for us to hold on to our self-worth. The Navi Yeshaya can say, I'm doing what Hashem wants, so I have self-worth. The Navi Yirmiyo needs encouragement. It's very hard. If your own people call you a traitor, if everyone speaks negatively about you, how long can you hold on to your self-worth? He has to be a gibor. He has to be mighty and stand up to all that. Aval b'omro ashir, What about when it says the Navi has to be wealthy? Uveperek ha-matznia, the Gemara says, Bal koma. The Gemara adds he has to be tall. Ikaratam kmo she'amarnu. Over there, the main idea is, like we said, ken ra'uy lidaber bifnei am atzum uvalei chokma, ki Yisrael im lo yishalem b'kol ha-malot. You want to stand in front of everyone. You want people to look up to you. So a person should have all the different traits that will allow him to be valued in the eyes of the masses. V'gam amdaber barabim tzich liot chacham shalem. Adds the Ran, if you're going to speak to the masses, you're not the prophet. You're not speaking to all of the Jewish people. You're just talking to the masses. You still have to be whole in your wisdom. The Gemara in Makos says on the Pasuk in Kohelet, Umi ohev behamon, who loves among the masses, lo tevua, the person who has grain. So the literal meaning of the Pasuk in Kohelet is, the masses love the person who has grain. Everyone needs grain. So if you have grain, if they could count on you, that you have the grain, you have the basic sustenance of life, people like you. Chazal say, Lemine lelamed Torah ba'amon, who is fitting to teach Torah among the masses? Lemi shekol atvua shelo, someone who has all of the grains, everything's his. As Rashi explains, he knows Tanakh well, he knows Mishnah well, he knows Gemara well, he knows Halacha well, he knows Agadot well. If he has all that, then he should speak among the masses. V'chol zeh ino rak kedei shilmedu hakol mimenu. Why does he need to have all that? It's so that people will learn from him. אבל אם אינם צריכים ללמוד תורה בהמון, אפילו למי שכל תבואה שלו נעשה לדבר בתורה ברבים. What happens if you're not supposed, they don't need you to learn their Torah. Don't stand up and talk in front of the masses. כמו שאמרו בסוכה, our sages say in Tractate Sukkah, תנא דבי רבנן, מי דכתיב חמוקי ירי חייך? Why does the verse in the Song of Songs describe the Torah as the secret inner thigh? Lama nimshlu divrei Torah beyarech? Why is the Torah compared to the thigh? Lomar lecha, to tell you, mayarech baseter, just like the thigh is something that's very private. A woman doesn't normally go around and reveal her thighs. The thigh is something that's personal and private. Af divrei Torah baseter, so too the words of Torah are private. If we take that metaphor further, then you understand that the thigh is in private, except for when she's with her husband. So with her husband, that's a private means it's saved for the more intimate relationship. Well, the idea is Torah is the Ribono Shel Olam's connection with us, like a husband and wife. The Torah is there, it's available for those who are going to be connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. We're not supposed to go out on YouTube and say, hey, here's an exciting piece of Torah, why don't you all come watch? No, Torah is supposed to be private. Today, we do things a little differently only because we have Jews that are lost and we're trying to bring them back. But technically, Torah is supposed to be, you want it, come get it. Work for it. Approach it. It's not supposed to be that we have all these websites and whoever wants can go out. For many years, I refused to make my website more beautiful. People would always argue with me, why don't you make it more beautiful? And I always said, there's so much information there that I want that whoever comes is coming because they want Torah, not because it's an attractive website. I'm not looking to attract people. In recent years, I've come to the realization that there's room to work the other way as well. The majority of what's taught is for people who want to learn Torah. It's there. I always said, it's there. It's simple. It's not beautiful. But it's accessible and easy. All you need is to want to learn Torah. You want it, it's there. I don't think I have to do more than that. It's enough work to get that much done. But I was going in line with this Gemara. However, today, there's another need. Today, we're losing the masses. And we have to find a way to grab them. And even though that's not with the entirety of the Torah, but it is with snippets of Torah. No, doesn't say that. It says because they were losing the tradition, not they were losing the people. That's a different thing.
To keep passing it on, they have to write it down and on it.
But that's different. That's still, you're talking to a crowd of people who are working hard to know Torah. You're making it available to them.
Oh, back then it was easy for them, but they were.
saying that today the issue is, do you need to go after all those people who are not even interested? And that's a totally different task. To them, you don't go revealing every aspect of Torah. You want to learn, do something about it. People very often send me a WhatsApp message, add so-and-so to your WhatsApp group. And I always write back, let them send a message asking for it. I'll add them. There are two reasons for that. Number one is because practically, a lot of people have good intentions, but then they tell me I'm supposed to be the nudnik who adds 15 of their relatives to the message. Who said those 15 relatives want? And then the relatives end up getting upset. Who told you to put me on this list? And then they get upset at me and they get upset at their relative. But there's another deeper reason, and that's this. If they're going to get things delivered to their phone for free, easy, they don't have to do anything. They have to do one thing. They have to make one move to show that they want it. Send a message. It's such a big deal, send a message. I had a very close relative who would tell me every week, why don't you add our mutual relative so-and-so to the list? And I said, no problem, let him send me a message. He said, he's busy, he doesn't have time to send you a message. I said, okay, so then I'm not adding him, no. I'm also busy. But I take the time every day. It takes me a few hours a week to put out all these messages. So I'm busy, but I make the time. He can't make the time to send the message, no. No. So Chazal said, Torah is supposed to be private. It's the intimate connection of the Jewish people and Hashem. A person wants to connect it, let him go to the yeshiva and learn it. We don't go publicizing it. Why are you talking Torah in the masses? If the masses want to learn Torah, if you're the teacher of Torah, they want to learn, that's a different deal. Uvimoed katan, the Gemara says in Moed katan, kshayatza Rabbi Chiya v'shanar shneichav bashuk, Rabbi Chiya went and taught his two brothers in a public place, Shama Rabbi v'ikpid. Rabbi got upset at him. And Rabbi Chiya adenag nezifut ob nafshet latin yomin. For 30 days, Rabbi Chiya had to stay away from Rabbi. Rabbi wouldn't let him come learn. He said, what are you doing going to the market and teaching Torah? If people want to learn Torah, let them make the move and come and learn in the yeshiva. You don't take Torah and cheapen it by going out and saying, hey, come learn, I got something for you. You're cheapening the Torah. And Rabbi wouldn't allow Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya had to take a 30-day detention. 30 days to stay away from his Rebbe, because Rebbe said, why are you going to the marketplace? You're cheapening the Torah. So I'm saying there's this balancing act where on the one hand, we want to give people a taste so that they'll come in and connect the Torah. On the other hand, we have to recognize that we're dealing with the most precious thing, and that's why it says, if people are coming to learn from you, so then you have to teach as best as you can. But if you're going and you're running after people and you're cheapening the Torah by saying, hey, come hear this, come hear that. So, no. So, then Chazal taught us this is the most intimate connection of the Jewish people and Hashem. And we keep it private. We don't go showing it off.